Poslušate Slovenskog dana na radio SBS. Danes smo povabili posebno gostjo slovenskega porekla, ki je kandidatka za stranko zelenih u zveznem sedežu Skalen u Viktoriji. Njeno ime je Rose Ljubičić, je zelo prijazna in se je nam pridružila da nam nekaj več pove o svojem življenju, kot tudi o delu, ki ga ona opravlja na političnem polju v Avstraliji. In smo lahko ponosni, da imamo sposobne ljudi slovenskega porekla, ki se aktivno okvarjajo v političnem procesu v Avstraliji. Nekajkrat smo se že pogovarjali z gospod Tanjo Plibersek tukaj na naši oddaji, ki je seveda aktivna v Zvezni laboristični stranki, in smo se tudi pogovarjali z Danico Šajn, ki je aktivna v zeleni stranki v Zvezni državi New South Wales. Tako da bomo tudi slišali, kaj ima Rose za povedat, in jo lepo pozdravljam na današnji slovenski oddaji radija SBS. Rose, welcome to the program here on SBS Radio. G'day, how are you?
Hi, I'm well, thank you.
You have Slovenian background, you've got an Istrian background, and you've been involved in politics for quite some time, that I understand?
Yes, that's right. Last federal election, I stood for the seat of Skalen. I've also stood in the state election and at local government level as well.
Here in Victoria?
All in Victoria, in the northern suburbs, yes.
What prompted your interest in getting involved in politics?
Well, for a very long time, I've had a really strong commitment to environmental issues, to social justice, to social equity. And I think the best way to bring about any sort of change is to be present, to be part of that conversation, to be out there meeting people and talking about it. And basically, yeah, trying to bring about change by being part of it.
Why the Greens? Why not Labor? Why not Liberal or the Nationals or even Palmer United Party?
My values very much have resonated with the Greens. Even before, for the past 20 years, I found that my values really, really aligned and resonated with the Greens. So 7 years ago, I joined the Greens and here we are.
And what are those values?
The values are about social justice and social equity, a fair go for everyone, our responsibility to the environment and to the climate, our responsibility to other human beings. It's something I feel very strongly about.
Have you felt this way ever since you were a little girl?
Ever since I was a little girl, absolutely, yes.
What sort of platform are you campaigning on this year?
Okay, well, climate change is really critical. We need to move on that issue right now. But I also think, you know, our access to good health services, our access to education is really, really important. It should be available to everyone equally. And that's the Greens policies very much speak of equity and access for everyone.
In which way do you mean equity and access? What do you mean by that?
Okay, well, you know, having a publicly funded health insurance system with Medicare, having primary dental care available to everyone through a publicly funded system, having schools where everyone has equal access to schools, it doesn't matter which suburb you live in, the educational outcomes for all of our children will be equal and the same, regardless of, you know, your income or the area that you live in, the suburb that you grew up in. All outcomes should be the same. All education delivery should be available through primary school, high school, whether you go on to TAFE or university. No one should be excluded from gaining the education that they want.
Doesn't that exist already? I mean, I can enrol my child in the local primary school, the local kindergarten. I will have access. I mean, there are laws already in place that stop the discrimination of denying that right to education.
Yes, you're right. But we are seeing that some schools have access to more funding than others at the moment, and that is becoming more and more prominent in our society. So we're saying, let's introduce an education system on where funding is assessed on a needs base, and that's where more funding will be allocated. We know there are areas where primary schools and high schools do not have adequate equipment, classroom space to provide for the students. So we're saying, well, that's what we need to look at. Let's address these issues and let's fund it accordingly.
Any particular examples you could list where you can see funding is lacking or facilities at schools are lacking in even in your particular seat?
We tend to see that in areas where there's been a sudden explosion in growth. Through growth corridors, our schools are running a little bit to catch up with demand. So, and there are also some areas of disadvantage where we really need to address these issues.
Before you mentioned climate change, what should be done regarding this issue in your opinion? What's not occurring? What should be occurring?
Okay, a transition to renewables. We need to stop coal mining. We need to stop using coal as a source of energy. And we really need to unlock the potential of renewable energies. We have everything that we need here in Australia. We have sun, we have wind, we have ocean. We need to harness these amazing resources that we have right here in our country available to us now. It will also unlock the economic potential. So let's do it. Let's be really serious and do this now. It's a critical moment in time and we need to act now.
How are we going to do that?
Solar industry, the wind industry, solar thermal. We have projects in places like Mildura that we could fund to get big solar happening in Mildura over in South Australia where they're closing down the coal-fired power stations. Transition that to big solar. Invest in the technologies that we need to get wind energy used more efficiently. Have a look at our coastlines. How can we harness the wave energy that's available to us? Invest in that research and start developing the technologies. And then we start to unlock that economy that's available to us, which will also create jobs and transition people out of the old coal industries and transition them into the new renewable energy sector.
But isn't it reality that fossil fuels are here to stay for the foreseeable future, whether we like it or not, because renewable energy at this present moment in time can't completely replace the use of fossil fuels?
I don't believe that we need to buy into that idea that we only have fossil fuels as energy. We have the technology, we have the capacity for research and development. We need to seriously invest and fund this research for this to become a reality right now. No, we don't need fossil fuels to be our belief in terms of how we provide energy for our population.
So you'd say vested interests are involved in in why we're still sticking with fossil fuels?
There is an element of that. There is also an element of government not wanting to promote the renewable economy, renewable energy economy. We need to also educate the community about how this is achievable right now. We need to look at other countries who have had enormous success with this transition and start applying that here in Australia.
Which countries are you referring to?
Germany has a great track record in transitioning to renewables. Spain has now got big solar. There are quite a few countries across the planet which have taken this transition really seriously. And that's where we need to be.
Are we perhaps a bit frightened in Australia, particularly with regards to major infrastructure changes and the like?
Well, we shouldn't be afraid because it wasn't that long ago where we invested in huge national infrastructure and we all embraced it. At the time of my parents, there was the Snowy infrastructure project and that was really well embraced and taken up. A lot of people, particularly new arrivals, were working on these huge infrastructure projects and it was very well received and we all knew that it was going to create jobs and stimulate our economy and bring us into a contemporary national identity. That's what we need to do now.
Perhaps today it could be something like very fast rail.
Fast rail, big solar. Yeah, absolutely. These infrastructure projects will propel us into the future that we need to create for our children. It will create jobs. It will unlock a new economy.
Very fast rail. It's something that's discussed. It seems to be the case that governments on both sides are frightened to consider going there for whatever reason. What's your take on trying to get this traffic congestion sorted in one way or another, which is now affecting all our cities? I mean, we hear it constantly here in Melbourne. Sydney, it's obviously even worse being a bigger city. Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth, it's all over the place.
The investment in public transport is required to fix this problem. We are seeing it now with our trains in the morning. There is terrible congestion on the trains. So we need to improve services. Now, some of that is being addressed by removing the level crossings and sinking trains, putting stations underground. That will relieve some of the congestion. Better interconnectedness with public transport, having trams not ending in the middle of Gilbert Road and Reservoir, connecting it up to the station so that people can easily move from one mode of public transport to another, using a train, using a tram, using a bus. There should be ease of interconnectivity, and that will start to reduce the traffic congestion on our roads.
Rose, you're obviously talking about Melbourne, because our friends in Sydney will be laughing listening to this, because they don't have any more level crossings in Sydney, haven't had so for years.
Right. To be honest, I am not that familiar with how... I know the transport is terrible in Sydney. We were up there recently. The only way we can solve this is better public transport, more of it, better interconnectivity.
I'm speaking to Rose Ljubicic. She is the Greens candidate for Scullin. Obviously, we're having an election taking place on Saturday, July the 2nd. And I've invited Rose onto the program to speak to us about herself. Who is Rose Ljubicic? Your background, Ljubicic already, that's not a surname like Smith or Jones.
No, it's not. People remember me. They see my name once and they can't forget it. Ljubicic, my dad is from Istria and my mum's from Slovenia. My dad was from a town called Čepić and my mum from Zavino near Trieste.
And did they meet in Australia or overseas?
No, they met in Italy. Both my parents were refugees and they had based themselves in a refugee camp in Italy awaiting a country. They actually got to choose which country they would migrate to and they chose Australia.
And why'd they choose Australia? How'd you end up here as opposed to going to minus 40 degrees in winter in Canada?
That's where my uncle went. My uncle went to Canada. My mum and my dad came here to Australia. My dad's brother was already here. He was based in Mildura and he spoke to my father in letters back then of the opportunities and the great potential of this country. So they came here. So they went from Rome to Mildura. It was quite a shock.
Mildura, literally on the edge of the outback, and
that's
then to
right.
Melbourne after that?
No, from Mildura to Adelaide. I was born in Adelaide, yes.
We won't hold that against you.
Adelaide's lovely.
It is a beautiful city in all seriousness, and we have listeners from Adelaide, yes. This program being Australia-wide, well, worldwide actually, and Adelaide is a beautiful city indeed.
Yes, it is. I haven't lived there for a while. I've lived in Melbourne for 20 years now. But, we visit Adelaide regularly.
With regards to your work, obviously you do other things besides trying to get into Parliament.
Yes, I deliver education through the VET sector, which is the training and education sector.
And what sort of education is that?
I deliver training in horticulture, which is my background. I'm a horticulturalist, and also occupational health and safety.
How much work do you think it takes in order to be a successful Member of Parliament, a person representing the people, be it a state, a local or even the federal level?
It is more than a full-time job. Evenings, you attend functions, you meet with community groups, you attend forums, you are listening to your constituents all the time. And that is usually often evenings and weekends. So it is very much 7 days a week and very, very long hours. Even as a candidate, it is hours of work every week getting out there and meeting people and speaking at forums and having stalls where people can come up and have a conversation with you about what you represent. It is hours and hours of work. It is way beyond a 9-to-5 job.
And what's your take on all the perks that the politicians receive after they've left Parliament? Because a lot of people on the street say that it's just completely over the top. What's your take?
I would be prepared to have that conversation and revisit some of those benefits. Yes, that's all I can say about that at the moment.
So not much.
It is something I would certainly raise and have a conversation about, yes.
How did you go last time? Because you were involved in the last federal election in 2013. What's the prognosis for 2016?
I think the Greens will. I think this will be our best election campaign ever. We are really well organised. We are really well supported. The public are listening to us and engaging with us. They know that we have great policies. So I think that that will show on July the 2nd. I think our primary vote will increase substantially.
The Greens had success in New South Wales last year. They picked up a number of seats. Mm-hmm. You've got one federal seat, obviously the seat of Melbourne held by Mr Adam
yes.
Band. Do you think you may have any luck getting any more federal seats?
In the lower house?
In the lower house?
Yes, I do. I think up to four, potentially. Up to four, yes.
That's a very confident thing to say.
The community are listening to the Greens. They are looking at our policies and saying, this is solid. This is solid representation for Australia and for our future, and they're voting for us.
Do you think people are sick and tired of the two major options, same, same, from both sides?
Yes, indeed. Yes, absolutely. When the conversation from both sides on a lot of many, many issues is the same, people look elsewhere. And that's why they're taking the Greens very, very seriously.
And there's talk that quite a few people are going to be choosing to vote informally this year too, because they're sick of politicians promising everything and delivering and not delivering.
That's unfortunate. It seems to be a bit of a global trend, and it's really unfortunate because your vote is powerful. Your vote will determine who leads Australia into the future. So I would not recommend that anybody waste that very precious vote to determine who will be our next leadership.
So you don't think we might have a similar situation in 2016 as occurred in 2010, where we had a hung parliament, because there is talk of that?
I didn't think that the hung parliament was unproductive. I thought it brought about a situation where people had to negotiate and come to a decision where everybody at the table was happy. There had to be some consensus met, and I think that is great representation for the Australian public. Where everybody's voice is heard and where everybody has a stake in the outcome, I think that is great democracy.
Rose, finishing this interview, we'd love to hear you say something in your parents' native tongue, even if it's a good old-fashioned Istrian dialect or something from Primorska. Our listeners would love to hear you say something, because we can only assume you would have spoken the language at home.
Yes, well, we had a funny mix of Slovenian, Istrian and English. Our parents spoke to us, my mum spoke to us in Slovenian, our father spoke to us in Istrian, and we responded in English.
So say something.
Dobar dan, kako si?
Rose, we wish you all the very best in your campaign for 2016, July
Thank
the 2nd.
You.
I can only say on behalf of our listeners, we salute you for getting involved in the political process. There's a lot of us out there who harp on about politics, and we don't walk the talk. I'll admit I'm one of those. And for those of you who do more than just walk the talk, well done. That applies to you. That applies to another guest I've had on the program here a couple of times. You may or may not know her. She's involved with the Greens in New South Wales. It's Danica Shane, the active member of the Slovenian community in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
She was a candidate for the seat of Camden.
Great.
And we had her here on the program too. So perhaps you two should touch base connect up.
I think that's a great idea. I'll do that. I will find Danica and have a conversation with her.
Once again, Sena Borshe. with all your work, with everything you do in the community, thank you, because it's only positive.
Yes, I find it very rewarding. Knowing that I'm doing something positive and proactive is really rewarding. And also, I think I'm a good role model for my son. To teach him that if you want to bring about change, well, then you have to get involved.
Rose, thanks once again for speaking with us today here on SBS.
You are welcome. Anytime. Let's push it out.